Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Hold up your Bible. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Can you thank God for the Word today? Amen. Well, if you have your Bible and something to take notes with, we're finishing our series on Church on the Rock Is. Church on the Rock Is. We're talking about who we are, where we came from, and why we're here. You know, Church on the Rock, we started it, my wife and I, 41 years ago with 35 precious people. And we were praying for the name. What would be the name of this new church? Because we wanted the name to reveal the mission. And so we found Matthew 7, verse 24 through 28, and that's where it talks about two builders, two foundations, and two results. And basically, it talks about people who build their house or life on the rock. When the storms of life come, they won't be destroyed. And building your life on the rock is somebody who hears and applies the Word of God. So we thought that's where we got the name Church on the Rock. It means that my job is to help you have a relationship with the Word of God or the Bible where you can get the Bible to work for you. What say ye? Amen. Doesn't that sound good? You know, there's nothing more frustrating than to come to church and I can't get the Bible to work for me. Nothing more frustrating than to be a Christian and go to church and not grow, not see results, to see a promise in the Bible, but never see it come to pass in my life. So I'm an explainer. For 41 years, I've been here explaining the gospel. And I believe that my gift is to make difficult things very simple. Make the difficult very simple. So that's who we are, and that's why we're here, is to help you every week have a relationship that's thriving with the Bible, with Scriptures, with the Word of God, where you and your family get the Word to work for you. You're not just struggling through life, just going to church, just going through the ritual, and never getting results. What a frustrating life that would be. So we're going to continue today. We're going to finish this. But look at this. I found this online. George Barna, who's a pollster, he said that 9 out of 10 U.S. citizens have their culture and their values based on something other than the Bible. That was mind-blowing to me. I thought, I can't believe this. In America, that would include a whole lot of Christians. That would include a whole lot of churches. If 9 out of 10, George Barna, who is a reputable pollster, researcher, and he said that today in America, 9 out of 10 U.S. citizens have based their culture and their values on something other than the Bible. How many churches do you know that you don't even need to bring your Bible to church? Church on the Rock, God planted this church here. God wanted this church. This community needed this church. There never had been diversity seen in St. Louis like they saw it through Church on the Rock. So that's why we've been talking all month long about who are we, where we come from, and why are we here? If 9 out of 10 citizens in America aren't basing their values or culture, see, we make our decisions off our culture. We make our choices out of our values. And if 9 out of 10 aren't basing their culture on the Bible, what are they basing it on? So as we continue, look at this. I thought this was pretty cool. Bible and acrostic. Why do I need my Bible? Is because it's a basic instruction before leaving earth. And I'm ready to go. I don't know about y'all. But Matthew 7, 24 through 28, that's where we got the name for our church, Church on the Rock. And there's two kinds of builders. There's one wise, one foolish, one built on rock, one built on sand. And they had two different kinds of results. Now, 2 weeks ago, I left you with the thought that even the wise and the foolish both deal with the same storms of life. That even though I might be a turned-on believer and right relationship with God, I go to church, I serve, I tithe, I share, I'm still going to have storms in life. I'm still going to go through struggles. And what I've seen a lot of people down through the years is they start off right serving the Lord, but then storms come and they begin to wonder, why would God do this? Why would God allow this? And they blame God for the storms and they walk away from God. Family, the storms of life, the trials and the tests are here because of the fallen race, because of the sin in the Garden of Eden. This world is broken and cursed. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. In other words, storms come to sinners and saints. But I want you to see something here. Therefore, look at this verse with me. Whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So say this with me. I am a hearer and a doer. Then God calls you wise. Turn to somebody and tell them, you really look wise today. Would you tell them that? I want God to look down and say, Dave Blunt, you are a wise dude. You are a wise man. The Bible says that God calls the person who goes to church on the rock on Sunday and you hear what I'm teaching and you apply it. You look for principles. You're looking for principles when I teach. You're not looking for mistakes or negativity or what's wrong. You look for principles and you apply them before you get in your car, truck, or camper or van out in the lot. The Bible says you are a wise person. And the Bible says you're going to face storms, but those storms won't knock you out. They won't knock you down. They won't overcome you. You will overcome them. Therefore, whosoever, and I'm a whosoever, heareth these sayings of mine, and you do them, I will call you a wise person who built your house, here's where we got our name, on the rock. So what's it talking about? You know, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. He's finishing his sermon of the Sermon on the Mount, that great message. And he says, those of you that hear what I'm saying and you apply it, you're building your life. House life, synonymous. You're building your life on the rock. In the next verse, it says, the rain came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. But it didn't fall. It wasn't moved because it was founded upon a rock, rock solid. Now catch this statement. The life that you and I have is the life that we've built. And the life that we've built is the life that we have. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you're a builder. The Bible calls you a builder. And either we're a wise builder or a foolish builder, but we're all building a house or a life. So the life that I have today is the life that I've been building. And the life that I've been building is the life that I have today. In other words, what you drive, where you live, where you work, where you go to school, who your friends are, what you wear, where you eat, what you eat, what you think, everything about your life is a result of how you have been building it. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Think about that. The life that I have today is the life I've been building. Whether you're 10 years old, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80, the life that we have today is a result of the life I've been building. You want to be a wise master builder, and what the life that I've built is the life that I have is the life that I've been building up to this point in my life. So what am I saying? I'm saying that some people, instead of taking responsibility for their life, they blame other people. It's called a victim mentality. The wise person has a victor mentality. That whatever you do to me or don't do to me, I'm going to use it to propel me to my destiny. That's our mindset at Church on the Rock. That whatever somebody does to you or doesn't do to you, it's not going to stop you. It's not going to offend you. It's not going to deter you. It's not going to track you. You're going to use it to prove them wrong. You've heard the story of when Kim and I went into the ministry, went to our pastor. He married us, a man of God. And we said, we feel called to go into the ministry. He looked at both of us. He said this, you guys will never make it. Don't go into the ministry. You guys don't have what it takes. Don't even try. Don't even attempt. But what would have happened if I would have got offended by that, by my pastor, telling me I didn't have what it takes to do what I felt the call of God in my life? If I would have got offended and built my house on the sand, I wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be here today. This ministry wouldn't have the legacy of 40 years in our community and around the world today. So what did Kim and I say? We said to ourselves, we're going to prove him wrong. The life that you have today is the life that you've been building. The life that you've been building is the life that you have today. You can't blame anybody else for the life you've built to this point. I can't blame the government. I can't blame the Democrats or the Republicans. I can't blame white people or black people or Asian people or Spanish people. I can't blame economics, education, my parents, my neighbors. No, the life that I have is the life that I've been building. What kind of life have I been building? Do I let others dictate my response, my reaction? Do I let other people control my life and get in my head and take up real estate? I say, no, folks. I say, you and I, let's take the hurt. Let's take the hurt. Let's take the pain. Let's take the problem. Let's take the injustice and prove them wrong. If you agree with that, give the Lord a good praise, would you? Yeah. So the life that I have is the life that I've been building, and the life that I've built, you know, I've been working on it all my entire life. In other words, I have to take responsibility. I can't blame. That's a victim mentality. A wise person has a victor mentality. A victim has a foolish mentality. So he said, the rain came, the floods came. Now, I know that's not popular, but see, that's who we are at Church on the Rock. It is that we've all gone through hurt, we've all gone through pain, but we can't use it to make excuses for what we haven't built. We can't use the divorce, the rape, the incest, the alcohol, the injustice, the lies, the persecution, the opposition. We can't use the hurt as an excuse for falling short of the life or the house God wants us to build. We have to take responsibility for our life. And at Church on the Rock, that's who we is. Amen, somebody. And the rain came, the floods came, the wind blew, beat on that house, and it fell not because it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, I come to church on Sunday at Church on the Rock, but I don't do them. I mentally assent. I say, yes, Pastor, amen. I've heard that before, but I don't apply it. I don't put it to practice on my way out as I get in my car, truck, or van. And doeth them not, you'll be likened to a foolish person. A victim mentality, who built your house upon the sand. And the same storm, the same hurt, the same pain, the same injustice came and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You know, I just heard yesterday, and it really broke my heart, but it's not the first time that I've heard it. If someone was telling me yesterday of someone who used to be on our dream team years ago, let's all say years ago, And, you know, Daniel told you last week, Church on the Rock is a place where you can grow. And he told you that before service, all of our departments, they have meetings. And they go over the day. They go over the events. They go over the announcements. They go over the agenda. And they share testimonies. And I heard yesterday how that years ago, there was somebody on our dream team, and they were eating donuts. They were having coffee. They were having a fellowship with other dream teamers. And somebody said something to him that offended him. He was a little overweight, I'll just be honest. And somebody said something to him about eating donuts. Well, they told me that offended him. He walked out and never came back to Church on the Rock. See, that should have never been said to him, But he should have never responded that way, because that's a victim mentality. See, his house fell. He backslid, went away from God. The storms came. Folks, the storms come to all of us. Injustice, lie, hurt, pain. But if I build my house on the rock, hearing the word and applying the word makes me strong. So when the pain and problems of life come, I don't fold. I don't whine. I don't bawl. I don't cry. I don't give up, and I don't blame. That's who Church on the Rock is. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So if I just come to church and I hear, but I don't do, I'm going to be stagnant. I won't grow. I'll question the Bible. I will deceive myself. I will deceive myself, and I'll think it doesn't work. And see, again, my job is to get you to have a relationship with the word that works. I can't have a relationship with the word without having a relationship with the word. Being the word, Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, God with us. So notice the scripture tells us that we can't just come and hear and mental assent and say amen. We've got to look for ways to put it into practice. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like a person who looks into the mirror. Next verse. You see yourself, but you go your way and you forget your identity. Verse 25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and you continue therein, when your Bible, huh? Continue, consistency every day. There you'll be not a forgetful hearer, but you're a doer. And this person who's a doer, you will be blessed in all of your deeds. How many can stand a blessing today? Notice it's not a hearer, it's a doer that's blessed. I'm not blessed in going to church and just sitting there and just listening. There's no transformation. It's when I take what I'm hearing and I understand it, and then I apply it into my life. Now, Joshua 1, verse 8, I want to give you, as we finish this series on Church on the Rock, is who we are, why we're here, where we came from. What you can expect from us is every week I'm going to make it practical and simple. I'm going to give you points and principles and make it practical. You can put it to work, and the word will work for you. So the big idea is this. Study your Bible. That's clear, isn't it? Don't just read it. Don't just read the one-year Bible is good, but that's the shallow end of the pool. I'm taking you this whole month, we're having a deep dive into the pool. You want to go from just reading, you got to do more than read the Bible for it to transform your life. You have to study it. Look what this says. What's the first word, church, you tell me? Study. Joshua 1:8, study the book of instruction continually. That would be a habit. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything that's in it. Watch this now. What's the result of studying the Bible? Then you will prosper and you will succeed in everything you do. Don't you want to succeed in raising your children, finding the right mate, marrying the right person, building your marriage, building your business, building your career, starting your ministry, making the right investments, having the right relationships, going into business with the right people? It's all a result of study the Word of God. The word study means a discipline of learning. That's who Church on the Rock is. Y'all come here, you come to learn. I know you do, because we're lifelong learners. The minute we stop learning, we stop living. The minute we stop learning, we stop living. To study means to have a discipline or habit of learning. Here's what I know. Here, 4 decades, people who are growing are happy. People who are not are miserable. Okay? So look what it says. If I read the Bible, look at this from Stanford. They did a test. They did an experiment at Stanford. If I read my Bible 4 times a week and apply it, and we're not talking about hours, we're talking about minutes, but if I read my Bible 4 times a week and apply it, look what the research found out. Number one, loneliness drops 30%. How good is that? There's so many lonely people, especially with technology. There's so many lonely people, more than ever before. But reading my Bible four times a week and applying it, loneliness drops 30%. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I'm counseling all of you today. I'm giving you the answer for loneliness, depression, fear, worry, anxiety. Number two, they found out in their research that when you read your Bible and apply what you read four times a week, anger drops 32%. I wish all the people on 70 in the morning would read their Bible four times a week. How about you? I wish all the people on 94 and 4061 would just read the Bible four times a week. Road rage would drop. There's so much sign language. Have you noticed all the sign language that's out there today? Wow. Notice if I read my Bible, this is Stanford research. If I read my Bible four times a week, not hours, but minutes, and just apply it. I grew up in the church. I saw most of the Christians would go to church. They'd say amen. They'd roll in the aisles. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. But they didn't do, most of them, what they heard on Sunday. It's a very small percentage. But if I'll read my Bible four times a week and study it and apply it, anger drops 32%. I'll stop taking everything out on my kids, my wife, my husband, my friends. I'll lose my temper less. I'll control my emotions more by studying my Bible. Wow, we're going deep dive today. Number three, they found out bitterness drops 40%. How many people are bitter over their ex-wife, ex-husband, previous marriage, last church, last job, last relationship, what they did, what he did, what she did? How many bitter people do you know? It's rampant. The answer is who Church on the Rock is. We're a church that helps people get a relationship with the Word of God, fall in love with the Word of God, not just hear it, but know how to apply it, and thus have a relationship with God Almighty. Bitterness drops 40%. They found out if I read my Bible and study and apply it 4 days a week, alcoholism drops 57%. Is that amazing? This is Stanford research. It drops 57%. So what's the answer if I'm having a hard time with alcohol today? Study my Bible. Or what's the answer if I'm bitter for a dysfunctional family, a dad that walked out, a mother that walked out, a broken family, a blended family that's not working? I went into business with a Christian and they stole from me and they cheated me. What's the answer for bitterness? What's the answer for loneliness? Nobody's for me. Nobody will help me. What's the answer for addiction? Study my Bible. This is not Blunt. This is Stanford. Amazing, isn't it? And then number five. If they found out if I read my Bible and study it, apply it 4 days a week, spiritual stagnation drops 60%. Spiritual stagnation drops 60%. You know, Pastor, I just wish Jesus would show up today in my living room. I just wish he would come down. Then I would really believe that he really exists. I just wish God would show up. Have you ever read the story in the Bible of the centurion? The centurion in Matthew chapter 8. Remember, he had a servant that was sick. And remember, Jesus said, I will come to your house and I will heal your servant. Do you remember what the centurion said? You don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only. Watch this now. And he will be healed. What was it? And Jesus sent the word and he was healed. What was he saying? Think now. Think. Put your thinking hat on. I learned from that story that the Word of God, the Bible, is more powerful than a personal visitation of Jesus Christ in your kitchen this afternoon. Isn't that what he said? Jesus said, I'll come. I'll be there in the present. And the centurion said, you don't have to come, Jesus. Just speak the Bible. Speak the Scripture. Speak a promise. Just speak the Word and be healed. What was he saying? The Word of God has more power in it than if you had a personal visitation of Jesus Christ in your house today. Isn't that powerful? So reading my Bible and studying it four times a week, they found out spiritual stagnation drops 60%. Sharing your faith jumps 200%. You know, when you find a good deal, I know you're women. I don't know if they have any more. You ladies, the blue light special. Remember Kmart? I remember in our church here, boy, when there was a blue light special, man, all the women knew about it at Kmart back then. When you find something good, you got to share it. You got to tell somebody. And so notice that if you're reading and studying, remember study to show yourself approved. Deep dive today. Most Christians don't study their Bible. How do you know? Because I grew up with a whole bunch of them that love the Bible, love the Lord, but they didn't study the Bible. So notice sharing your faith jumps 200%. And then number seven, making disciples jumps 230%. You've been so blessed and helped by the Word of God and fed and empowered. You just want to share other people. You want to mentor. You want to equip. You want to build. You want to help other people. Discipleship jumps 230%. So through the Bible, why do I need to study my Bible? Through the Bible, number one, God reveals himself. God reveals himself. I just like to see God get in your Bible. God reveals himself. Number two, God reveals his plan and purpose for my life as the team comes. God reveals his plan and purpose for my life through the Bible. And then number three, God helps me make the best decisions through the Bible. We're talking about studying the Bible today. Kim and I, we went to college at Southwestern University in Waxahachie, Texas, right below Dallas. And we lived on the campus in the married dorms. Now, again, I grew up in the church. I'm thankful. My dad was a deacon. My mom was Sunday school superintendent. I thank God for my heritage. And then we went to college. You know, we were there on the dorms, married dorms, and there was a couple next to us that was very close, John and Mary. And I remember one day, John came over, and he said, "Hey, Dave, let me see your Bible." And I was proud of my Bible. It was a Cambridge, all leather, red letter edition. I said, this is my Bible. He goes, "That's cool." But he said, "Have you ever got a study Bible?" I said, "Study Bible?" Now, I grew up in Pentecost. I said, "Study Bible?" He said, "Yeah, study Bible. You ever had a study Bible?" I said, "I don't even know what one looks like." So he opened his up to me and he said, "You need to get one just like this." Now, I'm not endorsing this. I'm just giving you a story how my life was changed. So he opened up his Bible and he said, "You need to get one of these." I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a Dakes Bible." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, it's got all kinds of study notes and research all through it. And it'll cause you to go deep dive into the Bible and the Bible will come alive." I go, "Really? I got to get me one of them." So I went and asked Pastor Kim if I could buy one. So I went over to the bookstore that same day, and this is the exact Bible. This is the exact Bible over almost 50 years ago, that the Dakes Bible that I bought that day, and I began to open it up. I couldn't believe all the research, all the work, all the notes. And then John said to me, "Don't you realize the college you're in, that Phineas Dake founded it?" I go, "No, I didn't know that. Praise God." Everything took on. I had now a new perspective. I wasn't going by what they said, or what he said, or what she said. I began to study for myself, and the light came on, and I had a different perspective of God. I was taught growing up that God put sickness on you to teach you, and I couldn't buy that. I found in the Bible, I can't find that anywhere. I was told growing up, "I'm thankful, but God will meet your needs, but don't you ask for anything more than your needs." And I began to study for myself, and I found out he said, "Delight yourself, and he'll give you the desire." I began to cross-reference scriptures. I began to see that God is a good God, that God is for me, that God wants to bless me. He wants to empower me. He wants my family to be blessed. He wants everything I touch to be blessed. God wants me to have the best. It all happened when I began to study the Bible for myself. Look what it says here. I love this. I'm about done, y'all. Am I helping anybody today? It's Psalm 119, 105. I would write this down. I love this because I've made too many dumb decisions in my life. The Bible helps us make better decisions. Look at this. Truth, that's the Bible. Truth shining light guides me in my choices. Whoa. The Bible guides me in my choices, and the Bible guides me in my decisions. So why study the Bible? I'm going to make better choices, better decisions in relationships, investments, agreements, deals. I'm going to make better choices and decisions. And thus, Joshua said, if I study my Bible, I will succeed in everything that I do. Oh, my goodness. And then look, it says, not only choices, decisions, but he makes your pathway clear. Anybody under the sound of my voice today, you are confused. You are confused. You don't know which way to go and the next decision to make, and you're in a quandary. I'm helping you. I'm helping you. I'm pointing you to a study Bible, a Bible. One that you can study for yourself and let revelation come and the light come, and God gets bigger and your problems get smaller. And you feed your faith and you starve your doubt. And clarity comes and gets rid of the confusion. Should I? Would I? Could I? You'll know for sure as you spend time studying the Word of God. We're going a deeper dive than just a one-year Bible. We're going that we should study to show ourselves approved. Through the Bible, God feeds my faith. And number five, through the Bible, God corrects me, he guides me, and he empowers me. So I'm upstairs in my office this morning, and I said, wow, I think I'm done, Lord, but I'm going to go ask AI. So I went to AI on my computer. Now, what's it? AI is supposed to be smarter than all of us put together. Am I right? AI is supposed to be really smart. It's the future. You're all hearing about it. Several of you are using it where you work. Several of you are using it. Several on our staff use it for all kinds of things that they're doing. So I said, I'm just going to be techie today. I'm going to impress the next generation. And I'm going to go to AI, and I'm going to say, AI, give me 3 points. Give me your 3 best points. You're so smart. Give me your 3 best points on how to study the Bible. Are you ready for this? Number one, they aren't on the screen, but the 3 ways that AI told me the best way to study the Bible was number one, verse by verse. Or in other words, AI said book studies. I used to do them here. We go through the whole book of Joshua verse by verse. We go through the whole book of Nehemiah verse by verse. We go through the whole book of Ephesians verse by verse. Can you believe it? I even went through the book of Revelation verse by verse. So AI told me, and he's supposed to be smarter than, or she or he or it. I don't know what AI is. He, she, or an it. I don't know. But they're supposed to be smarter than all of us. And it said, if you want to study your Bible and get results, then do it verse by verse and do it by book by book. So in other words, you take like one book of the Bible. It could be Colossians, Philippians, book of Mark, book of John. You spend a whole month on it. And you go verse by verse and you pray before you read it. Ask God for revelation. And that's one way AI said. The second way of the three, AI said, to study your Bible, to get the results that we want, to have a relationship with the Word, that the Word works in our life, and we're not frustrated because nothing's happening. The second way AI said was through topical studies. In other words, you take like sin or righteousness or the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or the name of Jesus or the names of God. It's called topical study. Now, I remember years ago, someone came on staff. They're still here. They're a great staff person. And I said to them one time we were mentoring, I said, have you ever heard of the topical Bible? They said, no, I've never heard of a topical Bible. What's that? So I went to my library and I gave them one of my topical Bibles. They actually have a Bible. There's a topical Bible that helps you do topical studies. AI said that's the second best way. The third way that AI said to study the Bible, to deep dive and get the most out of it, was through a devotional. You get a devotional that you like, and you read that daily devotional next to the paraphrase, the translation of the Bible you like the best, and you cross-reference the scriptures out of your devotional. 3 ways, AI said, to study your Bible. Here's what I know. You and I as a church this year, we're going deeper. Come on, somebody. We're going to get more revelation from the Word of God. It's going to bring transformation into our life. And that's who Church on the Rock is. I'm done. If you got anything, give the Lord a praise. Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes and nobody moving? Those of you online, thank you for joining us. And you're watching today and you say, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. And I hear you. I can't have a relationship with God without a relationship with His Word. But first, I don't even know Him. I haven't given my life to Him, Pastor. Would you pray for me? I'm lonely. I'm bitter. I'm dealing with those things, those issues you were talking about, those topics you were talking about today. Pastor, I need a new beginning. I need a fresh start. I need to know God's forgiven me. I need to know when I die, I'm going to heaven for sure. And I need to know how to live until I get there. Pastor, pray for me. Or maybe it might be a sign, an act of rededication, recommitment. Whatever it is, let me pray for you today. If that's you online, punch the button on your device. That's a faith. It's an act, a statement of faith. Here in this room, out in the lobby, in the Rock Express, the family table, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Not going to call you forward, but I just want to pray for you. And God's dealing with you. Something was said, something was done in this whole series that you say, wow, I want to surrender my life to God totally. I want a new commitment or a fresh commitment or renew my commitment. I need God. I don't want to live by myself all alone any longer. I need God. I want to know God and His purpose for my life. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want God to take the hurt, the pain, the baggage, the wrong choices. I want God to take it. I want to let go and let God pray for me, Pastor. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. If that's you, just lift your hand up high. Would you just wave it at me, every section? Back in the balcony by faith in Jesus' name. You could put your hands down. Church, let's help everybody. Let's pray this prayer together. Say it out loud with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I change my mind. I want to go in the new direction. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look up and celebrate, everybody.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.